Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For today, mostly sunny skies, lower 70s. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear skies, mid 40s. Winds will be from the south at around 5 miles an hour. For tomorrow, sunny and breezy, lower 70s, with wind gusts as high as 25. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies, lows around 53. And Wednesday, partly sunny, chance of storms, temperatures in the lower 70s. Right now, it's 37.
Kansas Mid-America Network News. Good Monday. Police in Kansas City, Kansas, investigating a deadly shooting at a private bar. Correspondent David Daniel has the story.
Nine people were shot overnight at Tequila KC Bar, a private, members-only club in Kansas City. Police were called to the bar around 1:30 in the morning, maintaining an active presence well after sunrise as investigators combed the scene. Four people inside had been killed. Five others were injured. Witnesses told police the shooting might have stemmed from a fight that broke out earlier in the night. I'm David Daniel reporting.
That shooting taking place in the overnight hours Saturday night into yesterday morning. The University of Kansas Athletics Department issued an apology following a performance Friday night of rapper Snoop Dogg. The performance was part of KU's Late Night in the Fog basketball tip-off Friday. Mid-America Network News.
Hear that? The stampede's coming. Must be Ford Truck Month. It's time to get the best deals on America's best-selling trucks for 42 years straight. But hurry, because this stampede won't be here for long.
This is John Sidorik with JD Aviation Services at the Augusta Airport. There's no doubt that vehicle maintenance is important on the roadways, and proper aircraft maintenance is even more important. Since JD Aviation Services opened its doors, we've received many new customers through recommendations of current customers. So this is your formal invitation to make JD Aviation Services of Augusta your aircraft maintenance partner. Learn more at iFlyAugusta.com.
The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration planning to reopen an office that closed 2 years ago in Garden City. The office is reopening at a time when methamphetamine seizures are on the increase in Finney County, and some drug-related shootings have also been reported in the area. Finney County is one of about a dozen Kansas counties that the DEA classifies as a high-intensity drug trafficking area. A person died just before 10 o'clock Saturday morning in Wyandotte County. The Kansas Highway Patrol reports an 06 Kenworth cement truck driven by Gustavo Hernandez of Kansas City was westbound on Kansas Highway 32 and turned south onto a private road. The truck struck the front of a westbound Union Pacific train. The 43-year-old Hernandez of Kansas City was pronounced deceased at the scene. The Kansas Highway Patrol reports he was properly restrained at the time of the accident. And Kansas weather forecasters saying the first taste of winter could arrive in the state on Thursday. Mid-America Network News.
Is slow internet driving ratty? Are your little monsters complaining about the connection? Don't miss out on this spooktacular special. Right now, we are giving away a $100 Visa gift card to new internet subscribers or existing customers who upgrade their speed. Call Blue Valley Technologies today at 877-876-1228.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News. The Nebraska State Patrol says a 16-year-old boy died in a crash near central Nebraska's Westerville. The Kearney Hub reports the crash happened around 8 o'clock Friday morning when the westbound pickup truck the teen was driving crossed over the eastbound lane of Highway 70 into a ditch and then rolled. Investigators say 16-year-old Brandon Cheek of Arcadia died at the scene a few miles east of Westerville. The crash site was about 18 miles east of Broken Bow. Former U.S. Senator Bob Kerry is scheduled to deliver a lecture later this month at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. The title of his address, The Appointment of John Marshall, We Got Lucky. A university news release says Kerry will discuss how his love for the law is a direct result of his personal experiences. Kerry was governor of Nebraska from 1983 to 87 and was a Democratic U.S. senator from the state from 1989 to 01. Mid-America Network News.
Hear that? The stampede's coming. Must be Ford Truck Month. It's time to get the best deals on America's best-selling trucks for 42 years straight. But hurry. Because this stampede won't be here for long. Stop deal
with
legend.
With the old saying that variety is the spice of life, when it comes to renting aircraft in South Central Kansas, Augusta Flight Center is one spicy place. Augusta Flight Center has a 12-aircraft fleet, including five Cessna 172s, a Cessna 182 High Performance with Garmin 530W, a Complex Beach Sierra, and the only light sport and tailwheel aircraft in the area. A large and well-maintained fleet at great hourly rates. Augusta Flight Center, Augusta, Kansas.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Marshall County Commissioners met last Monday. Sheriff Dan Hargrave, the architect, builder, and bond representative met with the board to discuss financing options for the proposed jail project and reviewed six different options for financing. After consideration, consensus was to wait until perhaps January to finalize a decision, allowing adequate time for public meetings and still consider bidding for spring construction. Six financing options were suggested. The first, general obligation bonds, could be issued, and if over $300,000 would require an election. Option two, the county would create a public building commission that would finance the jail by issuing bonds. The county would then enter into a lease purchase agreement with the commission. Creation is subject to 60 days publish and protest petition. If protested, there would be an election before a public building commission could be created. Options 3 and 4 are lease purchase options subject to 30-day notice and protest period. Benefits or no election is required, and it doesn't count toward county debt limit. Options are subject to the tax lid and would be at a bit higher interest rate. Options 5 and 6 are sales tax-based. Option 5, strictly a countywide sales tax, which would require a public vote to approve. Option 6 is a sales tax established through a state statute. The county would have to request to the state Marshall County be included in the statute to receive these sales tax dollars. Bonds would be issued, which would be paid back with sales tax proceeds. The board feels at this time that it's best to put the proposed jail project on hold until spring. This would allow time to finalize financing for the project and will allow time to be proactive on presenting plans to the public via public meetings. The architect concurred, noting that the project will then have to be sent back out for bids. The board will likely be making a decision regarding the proposed jail in January to allow for adequate time for bid processing for possible spring construction. Washington County Commissioners met last Monday and conducted mostly routine business. Hanover Hospital Administrator Brittany Omke requested $50,000 for the new year in order to guarantee funding for new medical personnel. Omke emphasized the challenges for smaller hospitals to attract candidates and was hoping that some funding could be used as a signing incentive or student loan repayment options. Hanover Hospital had announced a verbal commitment from a new physician, but as yet is unable to identify the individual. She further indicated they hope to add a nurse practitioner sometime next year. It was reported the financial issues facing the hospital earlier this year had been addressed. Nemahal County Commissioners were to meet Monday with the Waubunsee County Zoning Officer and had previously met with the Flint Hills Regional Director to discuss prospects of county zoning options. It was recommended that a comprehensive plan be drafted before adopting zoning regulations. They hope to meet with the zoning attorney as well before proceeding. The public has been allowed to ask questions of these individuals as part of a study process. Engineers advised at the last meeting that work on developing haul routes for the Soldier Creek Wind Farm continue, and information from the contractor and the developer are being gathered. An agreement was signed with Pottawatomie County for mutual construction of a replacement bridge on the county line. The Kansas 911 Coordinating Council announced recently the Nemahal County Sheriff's Office has been awarded a grant to replace and maintain a new voice recorder for the 911 Communications Center. has a 40% matching grant. The award will save Nemahal County over $22,000, allowing preservation of 911 funds for future expenses. The funding providing the grant was awarded the state by the National 911 Grant Program, administered by the National Telecommunications and Information Administration. Subgrants to Kansas 911 communication centers allow funding upgrades and equipment replacement that could otherwise fall on the shoulders of local property taxpayers. A fatality accident was reported Thursday evening shortly before 7 p.m. in Southern Gage County, claiming the life of 82-year-old Roy Farwell of Dubois. He was a passenger in a vehicle driven by Kay Farwell, age 78 of Dubois, who collided at the U.S. 77 Nebraska Highway 8 intersection 5 miles south of Wymore with another vehicle driven by Alice Bryan, age 58 of Wymore. Farwell was southbound and apparently turned east in front of Bryan, who was northbound. Alice Bryan was transported to Beatrice Community Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Again, the fatality was Roy Farwell of Dubois, who was life-flighted from the scene and later died Thursday at a Lincoln hospital as a result of the accident. Steve Shum, age 66, formerly of Marysville, passed away Tuesday at Stafford, New York. Funeral service Tuesday, 11 a.m. at Kinsley Mortuary of Marysville. Burial in the Washington City Cemetery. Visitation Monday, 3 until 9. Family will see friends Monday from 5 until 7 at Kinsley Mortuary in charge of arrangements for Steve Shum. Roy N. Farwell, age 82, of Dubois, passed away Thursday. Funeral services Wednesday at the United Methodist Church, Pawnee City, interment in the Pawnee City Cemetery. Visitation Tuesday, 9 until 8. Family will greet friends Tuesday from 6 until 8 at the Weary Mortuary of Pawnee City in charge of arrangements for Roy Farwell. On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, hamburger, baked beans, tater tots, and strawberry salad. Tomorrow, Swedish meatballs with egg noodles, peas, a roll of mandarin oranges, and cake. Check of a school and community calendar. Marysville freshman volleyball team at Falls City. 7th grade volleyball triangular here at Marysville. 8th grade volleyball triangular at Wamego. JV football team will host Wamego. JV volleyball teams at Chapman. Freshman football team will host Wamego. KNDY News time is 7:17.
At United Bank and Trust, we get it. Bank hours don't always fit into your schedule. With the United Bank and Trust mobile banking app, you can bank anytime, anywhere. At home, at work, or anywhere in between, you can perform convenient and secure transactions like mobile check deposit, transfer money between accounts, or see your balance instantly. Find it by searching for United Bank and Trust mobile app in your app store. Mobile banking with United Bank and Trust. It's banking for your way of life. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. High pressure system overhead. We're going to see beautiful weather for this Monday continuing into tomorrow. We do have another system that's going to swing down from the northwest, bringing us a chance of showers and thunderstorms as we get into Wednesday. It looks like through the end of the week. Otherwise, we're going to see pretty pleasant temperatures out there, anywhere in the upper 60s into the lower 70s as we head throughout the rest of this week. So looking at the forecast for this Monday, mostly sunny skies, lower 70s. Winds will be from the southwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, we'll have clear skies, mid-40s with calm winds. For tomorrow, we'll have mostly sunny skies. Again, we'll see highs in the upper 60s, lower 70s. Tomorrow night, we'll have clear skies. We'll drop down to lower 50s. As we enter Wednesday, we're looking at partly sunny skies. We'll see those isolated chances of showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 70 degrees. And that's a look at your summary and forecast from the Weatherology Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature, early October 72, record high on this date 96 in 1939. The average low 48, record low of 26 in 1952. Sunset this evening at 6:56, sunrise in the morning at 7:25. Clear skies and we drop to 39 degrees this morning, coolest temperature thus far this autumn. Light and variable winds. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Monday, the 7th of October. KNDY News Time, 7:19. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
The Braves rally late. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on sports. The National League playoffs continued in St. Louis, game three of the division series. The Braves rallying in the ninth, scoring three to overcome a 1-0 St. Louis lead. Started with a Dansby Swanson double that tied it at one, then Adam Duvall hit the go-ahead two-run double.
Pitch on the way. Out towards center field. Will it fall in? It will! Ortega scores. Here comes Dansby. The throw is wild. The Braves have the lead. And standing at second is Duvall. What a come-from-behind effort in the ninth for Atlanta.
In D.C., the Nationals hosted the Dodgers in Game 3 of their series, tied at a game apiece. Washington led L.A. 2-1 heading into the sixth, but the Dodgers exploded for seven runs, thanks in part to a Max Muncy solo shot and a Russell Martin 2-RBI double. The Dodgers went on to win the game 10-4, taking a 2-1 series lead. This is ABC Sports. On Sunday Night Football, the Colts improved to 3-2 and handed the previously undefeated Kansas City Chiefs their first loss of the season, winning in KC 19-13. Veteran kicker Adam Vinatieri was 4-for-4 on his field goal attempts. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers survived a late surge by the Cowboys to win on the road 34-24. Green Bay running back Aaron Jones had over 100 yards on the ground, including four rushing touchdowns.
And here's the handoff. Jones spinning his way right side.
Denver earned its first win of the season, going on the road to L.A. and beating the Chargers by a score of 20-13. Wide receiver Cortland Sutton caught a 70-yard bomb from Joe Flacco to give the Broncos an early 14-zip lead.
Five-man pressure, protection is good. Flacco throws wide open receiver Sutton at the 45. He pulls away. Sutton down the sideline. 30, 25, 20. Foot race to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver!
This is Rich Cantu, ABC Sports.
Tune for the Coach's Corner on KNDY. We visit with the area coaches each evening following sports at around 5:20. Monday, Spotlight on Southern and Diller O'Dell. Tuesday, Axtell and Centralia. Wednesday, Lynn and Hanover. Thursday, Frankfort and Valley Heights. And Fridays, Washington County and Marysville. Tune for the Coach's Corner following evening sports at around 5:20. Plus, join us for live coverage of our Game of the Week and Marysville Home and Away Games, live on KNDY.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and Andrew Wheeler, Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, have agreed on a plan to boost renewable fuel production and improve the renewable fuels standard. Perdue says the agreement builds on the success of year-round E15. He said the forward-looking agreement makes improvements to the RFS program that will better harness the production of our farmers and ensure America remains energy dominant. Both agencies will take a series of steps to help boost biofuels. The EPA will propose and request public comment on expanding biofuel requirements beginning in 2020. EPA will seek comments on its actions to ensure that more than 15 billion gallons of conventional ethanol will be blended into the nation's fuel supply beginning next year. They also will ensure that the volume obligation for biomass-based diesel will be met. EPA will also include accounting for relief expected to be provided for small refiners through the RFS waivers. Building on year-round E15, EPA will initiate a rulemaking process to streamline labeling and remove other barriers to the sale of E15. EPA will also evaluate options for RIN market transparency and reform. USDA will look for opportunities for infrastructure projects to help facilitate higher biofuel blends. The administration will also continue to work to address ethanol and biodiesel trade issues. The U.S. trade deficit with China is as small as it's been in recent months. U.S. exports hit a five-month high, which is a possible sign of goodwill from China as the two nations continue to try to resolve their trade war. According to data released late last week by the Commerce Department, the trade gap shrank to a seasonally adjusted $28.9 billion. Exports increased by $10 billion, while imports dropped slightly to $38.9 billion. Even with the new numbers, imports and exports with China have declined significantly since the trade war began in 2018. China, now the third largest trading partner behind Mexico and Canada with the U.S. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Good morning. I'm Sam Speck with your latest check of agricultural news right here through the MidAmerica Ag Network. President Trump has approved the fixes he promised in August for ethanol volume loss to biofuel waivers the Environmental Protection Agency granted to small oil refiners.
Longtime ethanol backer and Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley first broke the news that the president had released his package of waiver fixes promised in August. The news was hailed by corn and ethanol groups. Grassley, who met with the president several times to urge keeping the statutory 15-billion-gallon renewable fuels target, described the announcement as a win for farmers and the president.
Since taking office, Trump has listened to the concerns of farmers and biofuel producers. Now he's delivered a victory that will ensure the integrity of the RFS is maintained for years to come.
Grassley early complained that excessive EPA biofuel waivers to small oil refiners were the one issue that could turn farmers against the president. Now he predicts that won't happen.
Accounting for the waivers and adding that back in is the biggest prize of all. But there's some things on E15 compliance. There are some trade issues on ethanol and biodiesel they're making a commitment to look into. As was true under the Obama administration, the USDA is looking at some infrastructure support to get some help for filling stations putting in E15 pumps.
But the waiver change is proactive, not retroactive, using a 3-year average of exempted gallons starting with the 2020 biofuel targets, not making up for some 4 billion gallons of past losses, though EPA says the policy will add up to the 15 billion target in the future and ensure the biofuels target is met. The oil and petrochemical industries accuse the administration of playing politics with the fuel system to help farmers with a misguided reallocation of volumes to boost E15 sales. The industry vows to vigorously challenge the new policy. With your latest check of agricultural news, for the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm Sam Spag.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry. Of course, it's agriculture. Last week, we heard from a grain analyst who jumped in his car and took a 1,200-mile tour over the western and northwestern parts of the Corn Belt. Today, we'll hear from one who got on his motorcycle for a 10-state tour. After this.
Your best defense against breast cancer is a mammogram. I'm Dr. Sandy Goldberg, a breast cancer survivor and founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And early detection saved my life. Are you uninsured? Are you underinsured? Are you a survivor and need follow-up testing? Feel like you have nowhere to turn? Times are tough, but getting a mammogram shouldn't be. Call us at 312-345-1322. A Silver Lining Foundation is here to help.
Most people doing a windshield survey of crops use a vehicle with four wheels, but Joe Camp from AgriVisor used his motorcycle.
2 weeks, I touched 10 states, starting in Illinois and moving east into the ravaged area of the Northeast Corn Belt. And we came back into Illinois, up into Wisconsin, Iowa, down into Missouri, even poking into Nebraska, on back into Illinois. So I got a good look at the central Midwest this summer.
Joe spoke with us last week after his return, and what stood out for him on this trip?
Two things. One is the variability of this crop. We've heard that term bouncing around a lot lately. But it's a stark contrast to the previous 2 years when consistency was the name of the game. And it was that consistency across the Corn Belt that in 2017 and 2018 allowed U.S. producers to achieve record national yield averages for the corn crop. That's one thing, the variability. Of course, the Eastern Corn Belt, very different than the West. And then even in the Western Corn Belt, where there's some good crops, we're seeing the variability across, you know, two sides of the same road. So variability for one. The next thing is that even good corn looked good, but I had this feeling riding many miles afterwards, thinking to myself, the corn that looks good for a month ago. And that just goes to show you how delayed this crop is.
Depending on location, harvest is either well underway or fields are just being opened up. What kind of reports is Joe getting from combine cabs?
Unfortunately, some disappointment. Now, we'll say it's very early, but we're starting to get more indication of what's out there and what isn't. We should see, for the most part, some of these early yields translated to some silage cutting. But once we get into some of the better crops, hopefully we see an improvement in these yields. But the early going, some disappointment there, even relative to expectations, which were tempered this year coming into harvest.
Might we see some of these yields getting better as harvest goes on?
In September, we saw the USDA analysts start to move lower on their corn yield estimate. The same thing for soybeans. We feel like that's a trend we might continue to see. We're not going to see drastic reductions, we don't believe. Nothing like we feared early in this season. But we can see a downward trend for these USDA yield estimates as we start to get in the field and realize that the variability just won't allow us to have quite the trend-beating crop that we've enjoyed in the previous couple of summers.
Joe Camp from AgriVisor. More from him tomorrow. Back after this.
Look to the red and white checkerboard of Purina for quality feeds for your livestock. Purina feeds are formulated with the proper nutrition to meet your animal's physiological and production needs. Checkerboard feeds are tested, proven, and balanced correctly for your animal's stage of growth. Couple Purina feeds with your farmer's cooperative feed experts, and you have a recipe for success. Contact a farmer's cooperative animal nutrition consultant today.
Investing in our owner's success. Farmer's Cooperative.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Radio Network. I'm Steve Alexander.
It's 7:30 from KNDY. 39 degrees this morning in Marysville with a light and variable wind. Seasonal highs around 70 on tap most of this week.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports. Marlon Mack ran for 132 yards. Ageless kicker Adam Vinatieri knocked through four field goals. And Indianapolis shut down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' vaunted offense on a 19-13 victory. The Colts allowed points on Kansas City's first two possessions before shutting it out until Harrison Butker's field goal with 1:16 to go. The Colts got the onside kick to seal the win. Mahomes finished with 321 yards passing and a touchdown. Up next for the Chiefs, they'll host the Houston Texans this coming Sunday. High noon is the kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium. Kansas coach Les Miles fired offensive coordinator Les Koning halfway through the first season with the Jayhawks and promoted Brent Dierman to the same position yesterday. Koning was hired by Miles after spending last season as the running backs coach at Southern Miss. Mid-America Network Sports.
Friday night football scores. Marysville defeated Wamego 20-17. Holton over Royal Valley 39-14. Sabetha shut out Hiawatha 53-0. Colby over Concordia 21-14. Clay Center took Smoky Valley 44-30. Pittsburgh Colgan over Abilene 26-0. Valley Heights fell to Jackson Heights 26-12. Centralia defeated Troy 26-12. Hanover beat Onega 56-6. Axtell ran past Wetmore 74-24. Frankfort shuts out Blue Valley Randolph 54-0. Washington County outlasted Lincoln 50-6. Johnson Brock over Diller Odell 46-8. Southern took Thayer Central 60-48. Dorchester a winner over Lewiston 58-24.
Marysville Bulldogs overcome the Wamego Red Raiders 20-17, winning the North Central Kansas League title. Bulldogs post a second district victory and prevail in Friday night's fight. Bulldogs fumbled the opening kickoff. Taylor Beck returns for the opening score. Marysville fumbled a second kickoff. Wamego would score on their next possession, jumping to a 14-0 lead on a Brad Sackrider 4-yard quarterback keeper. Marysville answered back with a pair of second-quarter scores. Storm Slupionic 3 yards out and then 6 yards out. A 14-all tie at the intermission. Wamego goes ahead in the third quarter on a 32-yard field goal by Joaquin Sosina. Marysville answers back late on a 30-yard Atreyu Hornby carry to the end zone for a 20-17 lead. Wamego gives the ball up on downs late. Marysville keeps possession for the victory, going 5-0, winning the North Central Kansas League title 4-0, and a second district win for Marysville coming back home Friday, hosting Royal Valley. Reporting for KNDY Sports, I'm Bruce Dierking.
Are there any practical alternatives to leaf blowers or lawn rakes for fall cleanup? We will share a few creative ideas on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight. to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-312-9995. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9995. That's 1-800-312-9995. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-312-9995.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Monday, October 7th, the 280th day of the year. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma and talent judge Simon Cowell share a birthday. Looking for an alternative to the leaf blower and lawn rake this fall? We've been watching some viral videos. Let's make that doing some research on some clever ways that homeowners have found to beat the system. One fellow has discovered that a large sheet of cardboard can be used to scoop and push at the same time, making quick work of a leaf-covered lawn. A man with a pressure washer demonstrates that water works as well as air for blasting leaves to the curb. And for lightly covered lawns, mulching with a lawnmower is a good option. The finely chopped organic material is good lawn food. That is your Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Find more seasonal advice at almanac.com.
KNDY.